Hey, you.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm a bit disappointed,
actually.
Why? What?
I feel like I've been a bit gypped. Mm. I've told you guys for many years that I love a bargain. Mm. I'm right. My superpower is going to the shops and everything being on sale.
Yes.
Right. I don't pay full price for anything because I just have a knack of going in and it scans at the wrong price or something.
Yep.
So I quite enjoy being frugal. I am one of those people. I've been wearing the same outfits for about 2 decades. It's fine. But I just found out that I could have been saving myself a whole lot of money and I'm going to go and do it today.
Okay.
Because I'm looking for a pair of gumboots.
Mm. Okay.
Right, I'm after a pair of gumboots. I've been spending some time on my friend's property and it's getting a bit muddy out there and a bit gross. And I was like, I need some, made myself some rain boots. So I've been doing a search online to look for who's got ladies' rain boots.
I bet there's a huge range of quite stylish gumboots.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd think so. But in the ladies' section, no. You can have a knee-high black boot or a knee-high green boot. That's what you get to choose
black
from.
Black or green?
Black or green.
Are you shopping at Bunnings?
Well, like I'm looking at all the generics.
Kmart?
I'm
anything
looking,
else?
I am. I'm looking at your Kmart's, Target's, Big W, the place you'd go for a rain boot. And that's what you get. In the kids section, it's rad. They get dinosaur boots with feet. They get things with teeth on them. They get different types of characters. They get kids' boots that light up when you walk.
Oh, yeah, seen those, yeah.
Yeah, I know, because my kids have them.
Right? So then someone says to me, well, why don't you just buy from the kids section? I'm like, well, obviously I can't do that. I'm an 8.5.
Meh.
Well, apparently I can.
What do you mean?
Apparently, if you're an 8.5 or lower in ladies' shoes, you can get something from the kids section. You just have to go down 1.5 sizes. So a kid's 7 is the same size as a lady's 8.5.
Oh, I see.
What?
So I could go and instead of spending $25 on a boring black gumboot,
give me a look at your foot.
I can go and spend like $15 and get wicked light up boots that are totally rad.
I'm sorry to ask. Can you take your boot off? You're not a kid 7. Mila, my daughter, my eldest, is like she's a 6'7".
Okay, come and have a look at my foot. They reckon I'm going to go there today. I'm going to go to the shops and I'm going to try and buy kids' gumboots because I think that their boots are way cooler than what we have to offer and I've been paying too much money.
Now, with that, apart from the gumboot section, do kids do high heels?
They don't do high heels, but I'll tell you what.
Other shoes that you can buy?
I'll tell you what, they do a hell of a lot of good Converse.
Do they? Of course they
do. You get good kids' Converse and you get good kids, like, you know, they get good sneakers and stuff. So, like, if this works today, I'm wearing kids' shoes forever.
But why? Like, what is it? You saving money or something?
They're way cheaper. They're almost half the price and they're also significantly cooler. Mm. Like, we don't get many, like, ladies' shoes covered in glitter anymore.
No.
And if you want that, that's where you've got to go.
You know why they're half the price?
Why?
Because you're changing them every 3 months to a size up.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. Yeah. Everybody thinks to themselves, oh, you can do this hack. Good on you. Go ahead and do this hack. That's fine. But don't think parents have got it easy when it comes to their kids' shoes being cheap.
No.
Because Isabella...
No. The hack is that
the
Kimber's
good.
Feet won't be growing anymore.
The hack is good.
My feet are standard the same size. I'm going to go and get some really amazing gumboots today.
Kimber's feet and Kimber's butt have not grown in 28 years.
Actually, we do have to measure your butt later on this morning. Pete, Matt and
Kimber! Hey, I want to talk about, and I've got some audio in there. It's a classic Born to be Wild kind of soundtrack, Pete. I'm sure you can find it there.
I'll find it there? For you, Matt. It's not there.
It's not there? It's no not worry. There.
Oh,
okay.
How are we going to sound like we really mean business?
No, hang on a sec. Let me do this.
People aren't going to know that Matt.
You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. You tell me, give me the thumbs up when you've got it.
Give the thumbs up.
Okay.
It's going to be really subtle.
It will be. And okay. So basically, I would like to talk about, bikies.
Look at that. Nailed it.
God, that was so smooth.
Smooth, was it?
Flawless transition.
Smooth like crunchy peanut butter.
I tell you what, yeah, it's outlaw motorcycle gangs. We hear a lot about it, right?
Yeah,
now,
don't we?
I mean, I remember when I was younger, like the bikies used to do the Christmas run, you know, up the freeway and they'd gather toys for everyone.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, oh, they're a bit, you know, naughty at times, but they're nice and whatnot.
But they support Santa.
Yeah. And it's like over the decades, they've become public enemy number one. And I noticed that Chris Dawson is the, leaving. He's finishing as police commissioner and outgoing. And in the paper, he was talking about the things that he's proud of. And, of course, the closure to in some ways of the Claremont case was big thing. The rescue of Cleo Smith, of course, great time to be a police officer, I'm sure, when that happened. And he says that he would love to leave WA completely free of bikies, eradicate bikey gangs.
I mean, I guess we're working on the assumption that the police know more about the bikies than we do.
Well, now, obviously, there's been some pretty high profile, violence that we've all seen. Yeah. But I've got to say, in my normal life, bikies don't play a big part. I'm told that this is public enemy number one,
but
and
if
I should
be. We surveyed you in the street and we said, what are your top 10 concerns about this city?
Yeah.
They're not making the list.
I mean, the bloke that's ripping me off isn't a Comanchero or a mongrel mob or whatever they're called. It's the bloke that's doing my health insurance.
Yeah.
You know, that's very true.
You know,
bikies do not play a big part.
When you steal from people and you're wearing a white collar, it's a different situation.
And you know, slightly more sinister than that, when new laws come in, for example, there are laws that may well pass through Parliament, if they haven't already, about what cars can be searched and police powers to search you. And we're often, bikey gangs, outlaw motorcycle gangs are always used as, because we've got to stop these people. That's why we have to bring these laws in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I don't like the idea of this enemy being sort of put in front of me that I have to be afraid of. I never see bikies.
Yeah.
They never do anything to me.
I think it also, like when you say the term bikies, it kind of like puts them all under an umbrella, doesn't it?
Too,
like,
yes.
Any loud noise hog, you know what I mean? With a burly bloke sitting on top of it wearing a leather jacket, you go bikey. And there, I mean, when we ran the fish shop back in Midland, plenty of bikies rolling through, like picking up. That's just lovely. Would walk in, hey, how you going? Here to pick up me 27 kilos of prawns. I'm out.
Back to the club.
You know, like that sort of stuff. Really,
well, there were bikers and bikies.
Yeah.
Can we try
and flip it then? Like throw it out there and just sort of go, give us a call now. Tell us if you've got like a good bikie story.
The good bikie story.
Like, you know, the good bikie who's helped babysit your kids when you were in a bit of a pickle and you had to go out and do something, or they've helped,
yes.
You know, they've looked after your dog, or they're like, what, you know, what?
Wouldn't that be great if you jumped on like a babysitting app and there's Brutus sitting
I'll tell you what, though, he wouldn't let anyone in the house, yeah. Would he?
You're right. I don't want to go to bed.
You're going to bed now.
My kid's never behaved himself so well.
Phyllis in Midland, good morning to you. So we're chasing good bikie stories. What have you got for us?
Mate, I've known a group for 40 years.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah. I won't say which one it is.
Sure.
And one of them's my son's godfather. And you know what? I can't fault them. If I want anything, they're there. If I need, you know, they're not public enemy number one.
No,
Like everybody is classing them as, you know. I mean, I would rather live next door to one of their clubhouses than what it would be to live next door to, say, the commissioner.
There you go.
Also, Phyllis sounded like, you know, if I need anything, they're given. I mean, was she inside? Was she?
It sounds like
was she on the
I
inside?
Think she's talking about like a pizza late at night or something.
Okay, cool.
I like that. Yeah. What are you talking about there?
Yeah.
Lana in Dianella, what about you? You got a good bikey story for us?
I do. So my sister and I were driving down to Albany, and her window on the left-hand side came down. It wouldn't go back up.
Yep.
And we thought there were some bikies on the side of the road. We thought we'd ask them if they could help us, and they did. They taped it up with duct tape, and off we went.
No, not the first time I've taped something up with duct tape, I can tell you. Nice.
Angelo. Good morning, Angelo.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good, Angelo. Give us your good bikey stories. Are they public enemy number one, or were they all right?
Well, it's a shame that, you know, we put them all in the same basket. I live next door to Club Rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you now, on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. when they start the Harleys, it's the best way to get your children up to do their chores.
Okay.
And I tell you now, I can leave my door open. I can leave my windows open. I have no problem with security in my house at all.
No.
Oh, yeah, with a clubhouse next
no
door.
No messes. Oh,
do they do a mean eggs and bacon cook-up on the weekend?
The time, you know, so.
Yes.
Yeah. One more here, guys. Hang on, we've got Michelle in Darlington. Hi. Give us a good bikey story, Michelle.
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, my parents owned a pub down south in the late 90s, and basically they had a booking for all of the residents, all the, you know, accommodation and everything, and Saturday afternoon up rocked, you know, 80 bikies.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, my God. Anyway, the two head guys came in. They said, it's all right, you know, we got marshals that we put around and they look after the guys and, you know, I might be a bit rowdy, but you'll be all right. So they had a wonderful time apparently all night, and Mum would just see like a couple of them get a little bit rowdy, and then this marshal would come and pick him up and go and take him into the room and put him to sleep or something. And they, in the morning, Mum said there was just not a cigarette butt. They
really?
Cleaned everything up. They put all the garbage into a bags, and she said they were so polite. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So, well, life is so much cleaner when you've got a fixer.
Yes. How good would it be to have a marshal looking after you?
24 past eight. Everybody into the draw for $1,000 worth of free fuel
just
there as
an
well.
An interesting other perspective. That's
very,
all. You know, life is not black and white. There are many shades of grey.
Now, you know how maybe it was about 3 months ago when, you know, I mean, things were going quite well with the housing market.
Everyone was saying, you know, now's the time.
Yeah, now's
it's
the
hot.
Time.
Yeah, hot. The market's hot.
Sell, sell, sell.
It didn't mean it was the right time for everyone, but Pete, you thought, oh, it could be for us.
Well, no, I didn't think it could be for us, because originally what I actually thought was this would be good for a laugh, right? So, you know, let's get a real estate agent in and get him to sort of price our house.
Okay.
And we did that. And we were quite shocked at the response that the real estate agent gave us with regards to how much our house might be worth at this particular time, which
quite
a lot of people, you know, please, a lot of people find themselves in their boat right now. And then we were like, I can't be right. Okay, so we'll get another real estate agent in. So we did that, and they confirmed what the other real estate agent had to say. And then we thought, you know, it'd be fun. Like, you know, it would just be fun, right? Let's just... Let's just, you know, like spend, after having done that, the next sort of 6 weeks with three kids under six and a dog, cleaning our house every week. Let's just open it. Let's just see what happens. See if people come through.
And there was that awesome suggestion too, that you were going to maybe sell your house and move back in with Mum and Dad into the 3x1 that you grew up in as children.
Yeah, I can tell you, that's a big fat...
That's not happening.
That's not happening. Oh. No, because we.
What
have,
about the caravan? We made the Matt and I came through with the caravan suggestion for you to
also
live in the parents' backyard.
A big fat.
Okay.
Right. So we genuinely did think about that. And I was kind of, because you kind of get that whole feeling of, oh, this would be great. It'll be fun. Mum and Dad will move back in. The whole thing would be a laugh. You know, they could bring cameras in, film it. It'd be a sitcom.
Yes, it would.
Right. And then you actually sort of sit there and you start to think about the realities of. You know, Mum and Dad being in their house, and then us moving in with three kids under six, one of them who decides that he doesn't want to sleep anymore for some reason, likes to rave at about 2 o'clock in the morning. We've got to bring our dog. They've got a dog too. And
them cooking dinner for you every night, I mean, sounds awful.
Yeah, it's awful.
Doing your washing. Oh,
yeah, terrible situation.
Yeah, terrible situation. No, no, we decided against that because the reality set in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we sold our house.
Oh, my God.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
But the last conversation we had when we went on holidays 2 weeks ago, you said, I think we're going to take it off the market.
Yeah. Then an offer came in.
Oh, I mean,
I do, because, you know, I haven't necessarily been in this position before, but when the, you know, I know everyone gets excited by the idea of the market being hot, but is that tempered by the idea of, well, yeah, but houses have gone up across the board, so you might get a good price, but you've got to pay more?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I, as my wife will attest to, I tend not to live in reality.
Uh-huh.
So I see, oh, great opportunity for us to do a couple of things we've always wanted. Like, we want to live a bit closer to the beach. We want to get closer to Liz's parents'
house. Oh,
you're
going to be living close to the beach, all right. You guys are going to be on the beach.
In a cardboard box, Kimber. that still costs us $1.3
million.
Yes. So this is the thing. So we sold the house, and then and we agonized over the decision. And like, I rang my dad and I was like, Dad, you know, what's one of your greatest regrets? And he was like, never
jumping. Not moving in with my parents.
Never jumping. It's like, okay, you know, we're going to do this, right? So we sold. And then I kid you not, the next day, My wife and I were in the office of our house looking around, crying. Like, we were bawling our eyes
out,
going,
what have
we done? No, because honestly, like, we looked at other houses around there. It's just stupid prices, looking at things, yeah, going, right. Who would pay this for this? Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. And then looked at the rental market. The rental market is even worse. Like this. And I know this stuff now. And it's a really nervous
and
thing.
It's too late.
Yes, it's too late because we've sold it, we've signed it, we can't take anything back. And guys, honestly, I'm having a meltdown.
No, don't, because I can tell you honestly, Captain Paul, who of course used to work on this station and you know him very well,
yeah,
he has told me and has proven that you can live in the car park here by using the bathrooms and sleeping.
They didn't even know he still had a buzzer to the building.
No. You can survive here.
We'll give the kids a job as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Mila, make Uncle Mamumu a cup of coffee.
Can I just quickly say, and I'd like to canvass the public, can you tell us whether or not we've done the right thing?
Yeah, text us about the time you sold your house and had nowhere to go. This is going to be the best adventure. We can't wait.
Yeah.
We were looking for some content for the second half.
Now
we've got it. Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome.
Footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
There you go, legend.
I'm great, mate. Yes, I haven't had much sleep because the Wimbledon men's final was on. Novak Djokovic won, of course. His seventh Wimbledon title, which was quite extraordinary.
Man, you can get greedy, though, can't you?
Yeah, he wants more. He wants to be the greatest of all time. He probably will be the greatest of all time. So no disrespect losing to him, which was Nick Kyrgios. It's really hard with Nick because he's so hard to love. But he is an Aussie, and you can't really barrack against him, can
well,
you?
Well, it has been difficult. I'm thinking back to Tomek as well. We've had these two prestigious, these great young talents who we're told we need to like, and yet at the same time we've had Ash Barty, who's won it all with
got
style.
Got respect for everything,
and, yeah,
most
it's
perfect
it's
person.
Weird to hold them against each other.
Yeah, well, he is hard to love. He's like a tortured genius. It was amazing. In his box, he's got all his friends in his box and his girlfriend, and every time he does a bad shot, he abuses them. You're not saying enough. Say something. Got to talk to you in the whole point. What's wrong with you? This is what he says to his box every time a bad shot, and they're doing their best to try to help him out, you know. I don't know. I mean, that's how he deals with the pressure, yeah. I suppose. He got a code violation. He wanted this woman kicked out of the stadium, and he yells out, "She's drunk out of her mind. Look at her. She's drunk out of her mind. Kick her out of the stadium."
Mm. Yeah.
And they interviewed the lady afterwards. She'd had two drinks. And
sure.
She said, "I was actually supporting Nick." And they asked him about it. And he said, I don't care. She's not allowed to talk while I'm serving.
This is the country set itself up this way. Everybody lauds our sporting heroes like they're above everybody else. And as soon as you don't like their character, it's like, oh, but we still love him because he's into sport. Like, you know, it's
but
tough.
Also, the game doesn't do itself any favour. There's a bloke doing 3 or 4 weeks in the footy for calling an umpire a cheat in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And this guy can say whatever he wants on the court and gets what?
And even Kate Middleton, the poster woman for being prim and proper, she did the presentations. Even she couldn't keep him on the straight and narrow. He came out with a red nightcap on. Like, you're supposed to wear all
and
white.
And the red sneakers as well. And
we all know it's about pumping Nike and putting it on social media. He's got 2 million followers on Instagram or something. It's all about just money for him, I suppose. And I don't like it, you know. It's young people nowadays. I just.
Jesus Christ, Barra.
We get older.
Yeah, Barra, have you got any news on the lawn bowls?
We should mention that Eleanor Rybakina, too. She won the women's final as well because get accused of not sort of balancing it up. She's from Kazakhstan, but she's born in Russia, so that became a bit tricky.
Yes, yes.
And she beat a lady by the name of Ons Jabir.
There you go. There's your balance.
First African.
12 seconds on the women's.
They weren't angry enough. They didn't shout anyone. They didn't make anyone leave the court. And that's why they don't get talked about.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that is so true.
They got in there and stupidly played the game like a pack of fools.
And if Kyrgios was 200 in the world, you wouldn't even talk to him. They wouldn't be allowed on the court. Because I always think if a young person did that, a junior, they'd get in so much trouble if they carried on the way he carries on. But I know Pete wants to get to the Dockers. And, mate, how good are the Dockers going, my friend?
I don't
seriously,
going well,
third spot, on their way to top two, probably. Just looking fantastic.
Looking fantastic. I booked me tickets a couple of weeks ago, mate. I booked my tickets, Barra, so we are going.
Fifey's looking good. He's going to be the man to drag you through.
And Brayshaw for the Brown?
Brayshaw, Clayton Oliver broke his thumb, so he's going to miss 2 weeks. Brayshaw, Mr. Perfect. I love that guy.
Hey, just quickly, the Eagles. I saw Josh Kennedy kick 700. I thought he kicked 700 against the Tigers.
He did,
what happened there?
Yeah, that was his 700 overall because he played for Carlton. And yesterday was 700 for the Eagles.
Okay.
But the ultimate warrior he is. Jeez. I love that guy too.
It must be a bit rough at the Eagles my music, at the moment. He's celebrating two 700s. Yeah, that's your wrap-up music.
Right. That means you get to go home for the day.
See you, buddy.
See you guys. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Now, this is no revelation. I know that people out there know this. I even knew it. But, you know, sometimes it takes something just to kind of drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear or see something for the 100th time, but it's only on that 100th time you go, oh, wow, okay, mm-hmm. I get this now. So our home is full of the Kmart home brand and Co.
Sorry, did someone say Kmart? Are we going to Kmart? Who's going to Kmart? Guys, I think someone said we're going to Kmart. Get in the car. We're going to Kmart.
Now, I don't know.
And oh, God, Kmart would love you.
I mean, right? It's from Kmart, yeah? That brand? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, and like everything we have somehow over the last year, couple years, everything that we have is this brand.
And Co.
And people seem to quite like it. Like someone said to me the other day, oh, your cutlery's nice. Right? It's kind of got this gold, I don't know, God knows what chemicals in it to turn it that colour.
As soon as anyone says, hey, I love that in your house, you could almost always go, oh, it's Kmart.
Yeah. All right. So it's great. And I don't know, I'm sure there are ramifications for the world, you know, the Chinese economy. I don't even know where it's from.
Plastic landfill, right, you
know,
everything.
But all I know is my house is full of relatively cheap stuff that seems to look okay.
I mean, it looks, you know, it does look great.
It
That's
does
the
look
thing.
Great.
And I said, when we moved out of home, we didn't have the opportunity to go into a place and buy a whole saucepan and cutlery set for $16. We didn't get that.
No, no.
But, you know, Anko, Maddie, it means something.
Oh, does it?
It actually, it stands for something. It stands for a new kind of... A-N-K-O, a new kind of
dot,
and
dot.
So it's like whatever the product is. It's like their
It's
a specific Kmart, you know, a new kind of. And you know how much money they rake in every year?
They've
got a revenue of about $10 billion. Now, if you're not sure how much $10 billion is, this will give you a little bit of an idea. If you bought a $30,000 car, for example, and you had $10 billion, you could buy 333,333 of them.
Okay.
Or if you had the opportunity to save $100,000 a year, it would still take you 100,000 years to save $10 billion.
That's another kind of math sum, isn't it? But I tell you why I knew. It's because I knew all of that. But I was putting on my, I have to say, very, very comfortable sleeping pants. I won't call them my pajamas, but they're around the house.
They're what I like to call lounge pants.
Lounge pants, thank you. And as I pulled them on, I saw this bloody Anko label and thought, these bastards are taking over the world.
Now, what's going on with you? How the last couple of weeks been while we've been on holiday?
I've had a great time. Caught up with some friends and had a good time, had a few catch-ups. And, you know, I've found, like, the problem with being a passionate person is that sometimes I say things and people take them with great conviction.
Sure.
You know, like, I haven't necessarily meant them with great conviction. It's just that sometimes when it's delivered with a level of passion behind it, people buy in.
Yes.
Right? Now, one of the things that I've told you I'm very passionate about is that I hate paying for parking.
Sure.
I think parking in this city is the biggest joke ever. It's super expensive. And I feel like that bay has been paid for plenty of times over. Sick of paying for it. So if I can get away with not paying for parking, or if I can jag it, I will.
Sure.
P.S. Do not do this in Subiaco or Fremantle, ever, right? Because they'll always sting you. They're notorious for it. But over the holidays, caught up on two separate occasions with friends for coffee, and each time I walked them back to the car, they had parking fines. Now, I think it's because I talked too much at coffee. Let's be honest. Right? We've gone for coffee. They've gone to themselves. 2 hours is plenty of time to have lunch and have a catch up with Kimber.
Oh, no. And oh, nice. Naive fools.
And oh, we've
that's
got...
barely even. Like, so how are you today? I mean, let alone what's been going on.
Part of me felt like that party. Part of me was like, well, they should know better. Yes. But the other part is like, I do feel obligated to help them out. And so I, on both occasions, offered to pay half the fine. Right. And they said, no, 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 it's not your fault. This is not, you know, it is what it is. The first one was $65. The other one was $85.
Mm.
And then I made it even worse by saying to one friend, oh, that one, oh, that's not from the council. You don't have to pay that.
Oh,
that's
no.
not even
oh,
a real, no. that's no. not even well, a real no. fine.
What do you mean that's not a real
They're
fine?
They're not real fines, Pete.
What's a real fine? They're What's not a real fine? Can you explain this
it's
fine?
It's a private organisation that make you think it's a fine. And it's not a fine. So they scare you by giving you a ticket and saying this is your first and final notice. But technically, they can't enforce it. And so I know too much. And so I said, don't.
You
she,
know.
Well,
you can't go to, obviously, to that company's car park.
She doesn't trust me now. She's like, I don't think I can do this. And I'm like, yeah, totally. You don't have to pay for that. And she said, my husband doesn't believe you. And then I found some articles online of some Australian consumer groups that backed me in. So now I feel like I've got full support to not pay parking fines ever again.
Oh, yeah, because if you can find something online that backs up your argument, you know it must be true. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.